Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon on assignment in Chicago. I'm Tony Kornheiser. Does that assignment involve outdoor seating on Rush Street?
Well, you're close. It's close, Tony. Yes, Rush Street, but Clark Street, LaSalle, you know, Cut, Tavern, RPMC. But I've taken you to a couple of these places, and you're so worried about bus fumes as if this is Ralph Cramden in the 1950s. I don't know what world you're operating out of.
Let me tell you what world I'm operating out of. I got 9 fans on in here. The air conditioning is still out. So I envy you having outdoor seating at Rush Street, even though you dropped every name to get free food. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, John Wall and the Rockets will part. Eric Bieniemy might be interested in USC, and Steve Spurrier thinks Florida could upset Alabama. But we begin today with baseball. Los Angeles Dodgers last night became the second team in baseball to clinch a playoff spot. Unfortunately for the Dodgers, the first team to clinch is the team that is ahead of them in division, the Giants. It's likely the Giants and Dodgers will finish with more wins than every other team. Yet one of them is headed to a single elimination wild card game. Wilbon, is this good for baseball?
No, Tony, not only is it bad for baseball, it's stupid for baseball. It's lazy and stubborn of baseball. Because you want to see these teams at least as late as they can play each other, whatever round would set that up, in this case, the National League Championship Series, if possible, if they play to that. And so all you got to do is seed it. That's all. Just seed it. I mean, other sports do this. It's not that hard. As a matter of fact, there's always discussion for basketball about seeding the entire playoffs so that you don't have two best teams playing in the second round. You don't want that. And so what baseball's doing here by possibly having the Giants and Dodgers face off, well, not face off, but having one of those teams perhaps eliminate it, it's just dumb, Tony. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's indefensible.
Yeah, so I don't think it is fair. I don't think it's fair that the team that comes in second in that division that has a better record than 28 other teams in baseball should face a single elimination. I don't think it's fair. But the question isn't, is it fair? The question is it good for baseball? And I kind of think it is. I'm different than you, and I'll tell you why. It's pretty rare. It only happens once every 8 or 10 years. What it will do is almost ensure that the Giants and the Dodgers will be playing as hard as they can all the way till at least the last weekend, if it's decided in the last weekend. Then it puts a tremendous amount of attention on that particular wild card game, and it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on either the Giants or the Dodgers who have to be in that particular wild card game. It makes the baseball playoffs more like the NFL playoffs with single elimination, and to me, that's good for viewers and fans.
I know. You and our esteemed producer, Eric Rideholm, you want to make everything a TV show. You want everybody with a tiara walking down a boardwalk in Jersey City. I'm not with that.
What?
Sport has its own identity.
What?
Everything doesn't need to be a TV show. If television wants to peek in, fine. But don't set it up in that lazy way for TV. It's not fair. And Tony, you still miss more of a good product late in your television stage series by not having those two play 4 out of 7. So, I mean, if one gets eliminated.
Right, that's an assumption that somebody's going to get eliminated. I'll tell you what would be best of all. If after 162 games, the Giants and the Dodgers tied, and they had a one-game playoff, which I believe would be in San Francisco, San Francisco went 10-9 in the season series, and then the loser of that gets bounced out of that and into the wild card where it could lose again.
Well,
to me, that drama is worth it, to me. And I don't really. And did I hear you correctly? Are you going to walk down Atlantic City in a tiara? Did you say that's what you wanted? Wow.
I didn't say I was going to walk. Somebody's been walking for like how long was that pageant around? Like 90 years? Let's move
about 100
to the NBA, where, by the way, their play-in situation involves the bottom teams at the bottom, where John Wall could not be playing, Tony, for the Houston Rockets much longer. The team in its star guard have reportedly agreed to work together to find his next team. Wall averaged 21-7 over 40 games last season while coming back from an Achilles tear. But the Rockets have 2 young guards and the team have Wall and have mutually decided that a bench role would not benefit either party. So what do you see, Tone, in the futures of Wall and the Rockets?
I'll take the Rockets first because it's easier. In the near term, they are a disaster. They won't win 25 games. In the last 2 years now, who's gone? Harden is gone. They got nothing. Westbrook, they traded for Wall. And now, you know, and now Wall is gone. Now, look what they've lost in just a year, year and a half or something like that. Wall is more complicated. I don't know what his value is. He's never won anything. He's grossly overpaid at this point in his career. He is injury prone at this point in his career. He spent last year saying he wanted to get out of Washington. Now he's saying he wants to get out of Houston. I don't know if he's a malcontent at this point.
No, he's not. He didn't say he wants to get out of Houston. In fact, he said he didn't want, he would work with whatever they wanted to do. And everybody there in Houston has said he's been great. So he's not a malcontent.
So then why are they trading?
Because they want to play two other guys. And I've got the guys they want to play. In addition to having Christian Wood maybe healthy again, and Jalen Green, who seems to be a phenom on the rise. They got Kevin Porter Jr. They got this Turkish kid who's like 6'10". Sengun is his last name. They got Kenyon Martin Jr. They're building, all right? And they don't want a guy who makes $46 million and is 30 years old. They don't really want that guy taking time away from the young guards. Did I say Kevin Porter Jr.? I did, because he's one of them. So Tony Houston wants to go with a complete rebuild and a youth movement, and Wall doesn't fit that. And he has said, okay, what do you, how do you want to handle this? So good for John Wall, makes him attractive to somebody else. But Tony, you mentioned the salary. Look, I know people have traded massive salaries before, but his seems to be the most difficult contract
Who is going to trade for him? This is somebody who still runs ahead of all of his teammates. He doesn't make his teammates better. He scores a lot of points. He has talent. Are the Clippers going to trade for him? Is Dallas going to trade for him?
That's a good choice. Not Dallas.
Going to trade for him? Is Portland going to give up Damian Lillard for John Wall? What is John Wall's value? I think it's sinking. Okay?
Yeah,
that's what I
think. The value is a difficult thing to figure out, Tony.
Yes.
And when you're taking on $45 million for each of the next 2 years, wow, what do you do?
We move now to a report by Adam Schefter of ESPN that Eric Bieniemy, currently the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I quote, will emerge as a head coaching candidate for USC, unquote. Bieniemy has no particular ties to USC, but he grew up in Southern California. Schefter says Bieniemy has told people USC is one of the only college jobs that would interest him. Wilbon, does Bieniemy as USC's head coach make sense to you?
Maybe so, Tone. I think you need somebody who's invested and who also understands how important, we talked about this yesterday, how important that program has been historically, though not now, and Bieniemy seems to have that. And so, yes, it'd be a logical choice. Nobody from the NFL is chasing him down. The NHL probably would hire him before some of the teams in the NFL. And so, yeah, I was hoping he'd be interested in a little cold weather experience right down the street from where I'm sitting right now. He could come and coach a young quarterback and maybe a talented young team there better than the guy who's failing at it. But, Tony, Bieniemy can't, how long is he supposed to wait for the NFL to come calling? So if a team in where the place he grew up, where he may have some affinity, is open to him, then, and that's a difficult job. It may be as difficult as an NFL job because of the outrageous expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, that Eric Bieniemy is a completely reasonable candidate because I don't know if he can recruit, but here's what he can do. He can walk into somebody's house, quarterback's house, and the quarterback says, who have you worked with? And he says, Patrick Mahomes. You ever heard of him? He can drop Travis Kelce's name to a tight end prospect. He can talk about Tyreek Hill to a wide receiver prospect. And when he's done doing that, they're going to say, I'm going to sign with USC. So I think he has stature. I think he has a certain amount of fame. I think he has credibility, but it doesn't usually work. First of all, it goes the other way. People go college to pro at USC. Pete Carroll went college to pro, although he went back and forth. John McKay, John Robinson did that. It doesn't usually go pro to college. I think you use Carroll as the example because he's the last great coach. He went from the pros to college and back to the pros. The last great coach USC had. Would he be my first choice, Bieniemy? Well, he's never been a head coach before. But I honestly think that if you're USC, you can introduce him and he can hold up his hand with a Super Bowl ring and you can say, we got the right guy. I think that's reasonable.
Listen, if marketing oneself, if selling oneself, one's program back to the community of Southern California, which is down on USC right now, if selling yourself, and you're right, You can, I mean, talk about marketability. Now, we don't know. He's never been a head coach. But there's a lot of guys who've never been head coaches who come in They are successful. The question is whether he wants to wait on an NFL team one more offseason to come and get him, or if he says, you know what, they're not. I'm going to take the best thing confronting me right now.
Is he going to go right now? Is he going to leave the Chiefs and go right now? They got an interim. He could, I guess.
What's USC going to do?
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Coming up, is Steve Spurrier serious when he says Florida has a chance to beat Alabama on Saturday?
Bryson DeChambeau, your boy, says his hands are wrecked from practicing long drives. Could that affect his Ryder Cup performances?
You're very dressed up today. You got a job interview? What are you doing?
Oh, you sniffed me out. Job interview. I'm going to, you know, go to a golf course, see if they'll hire me to be a bartender.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Time to have some choice words with each other. And what's the word? What's first?
Steve Spurrier is blank when he says that number 11 Florida has a chance to upset number 1 Alabama on Saturday.
He's employable. Steve Spurrier works for the University of Florida. He's actually the ambassador of their athletic department. It's like Eric Dickerson being a Ram ambassador. Plus, Steve Spurrier is not just selling his team. He's selling himself because apparently he's opening up Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, a restaurant off Archer Street in Gainesville. Wilbon, you can mention it. You can get free food.
Are we going to get
caught? Let me read the quote. The quote isn't much. Quote, it's going to be a loud one. I really think we've got a chance. I mean, that's not like guaranteeing a victory. Look, Florida might be better served if Spurrier was still coaching them, because when Spurrier coached Florida, he went 6-3 against Alabama. And then when he moved to South Carolina, he also beat Alabama. Dan Mullen is 0-10 against Alabama. So I'm with Spurrier.
Spurrier's being nostalgic when he says they have a chance, the Gators, against Alabama this week. Nostalgic. You just mentioned it, all right? He had a 6-3 record as coach of the Gators alone. Just we take the Florida part, we leave out South Carolina. You know, I mean, that was Nick Saban. I think all of those wins were pre-Nick Saban. So Alabama wasn't the program that it has become under Nick Saban. It's okay for Spurrier to toot his own horn and be nostalgic. The question is, Tony, do you and I get premium seating at Coach's new restaurant, his new grill, all right, the ball coach, and do we get comped? Yeah. Do we at least get some nice desserts brought to the table? Because remind people of the first conversation you had with Coach Spurrier, who we love, when he got to Washington and coached the Washington football team. What did he say to you on your show?
His exact words were, I just want Michael Wilbon to think I'm a pretty good coach. Next.
He's a great coach. I love
it. It's blank that Bryson DeChambeau says his hands are wrecked from practicing for the long drive championship.
It's unnerving. It's unnerving if you're Steve Stricker and you're the Ryder Cup champion and you got this guy on your team and he's telling you that his hands are wrecked because he's practicing for the long drive. You know, I mean, what are you going to exactly put him in if his hands are wrecked? And by the way, he's going to continue, as he's doing now, practicing for the long drive and practicing for the Ryder Cup. He's not giving up the long drive for the Ryder Cup. There is no sacrifice here by DeChambeau. So if his hands are bad now and the long drive is one day after the 3 days of the Ryder Cup, they're not going to get any better. And if nobody likes DeChambeau now, how are his teammates going to feel about this?
Tony, how much money would you give me if I drive up to Whistling Straits, not far here from Chicago, and I'm in the gallery and you hear my voice scream out, Brooksy, when he's on a tee box? How much are you going to give me if I do that?
Good.
Tony,
I'll give you free dinner. Free dinner at Spurrier's.
Come on, now Spurrier will do that. Tone is deserved. It's deserved because he's doing this. So he decided to do this. He wasn't drafted. There's no must-do in the long drive contest for DeChambeau. This is what he wants to do. So he's doing it. I mean, he may put his team in peril, maybe. I can't wait to see this because if he somehow makes himself even more annoying to those teammates on that Ryder Cup team, I want to see how you defend that. Because so far, pretty much, you defend DeChambeau. This is deserved, Tony, if he gets himself in hot water.
I like DeChambeau. This is not defensible for me. Yeah. That's it. Let's take one last break. But still to come, is Chase Young a little too excited about Taylor Heinicke?
And the hated, awful, dreadful Cardinals move into the second National League wildcard slot. Are they going to hold on to it?
Again, I think that Brooksy is the antagonist in this. But if you're going to be in a long drive the day after...
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 70th birthday, Pete Carroll. It's the last 20 years of Carroll's career that get all the headlines. That's when he won the national championship at USC and the Super Bowl at Seattle. That's when all the fun happened with the investigation of Reggie Bush and the recent annual drama with Russell Wilson that always seems to get resolved and the two agree to dance some more. But Carroll had worked a million places before USC and Seattle. He was an assistant coach at Pacific, where he played collegiately, then assisted at Arkansas, at Iowa State, at Ohio State, at NC State, at the Bills, at the Vikings, and at the Jets before he became head coach of the Jets for 1 year, and a few years later, head coach of the Patriots for three. These championships don't just happen out of thin air. Carroll is now tied with Mike Tomlin for the third most wins among active coaches, far behind Bill Belichick and Andy Reid.
Tone, his career, I don't even want to call it a resume, but you take a picture of that, and you can go anywhere and compare him to any coach. And so those last 20 years that you've talked about, man, what a chapter that's been for Pete Carroll.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary, Bam Adebayo. On this day just last year, with the Miami Heat clinging to a 2-point lead with seconds remaining in overtime, Adebayo blocked Jason Tatum's dunk attempt to seal Miami's win over Boston in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Watch as Tatum loads up to throw the ball down with stunning force. Adebayo goes up, blocks the ball with his left hand, then cradles it and softly releases it so he can catch it on the way down. It is a tremendous block. This happened in the NBA's bubble playoffs last year, August, September, October, right in the teeth of the NFL season. Miami went on to the finals where they lost to the Lakers in six games that nobody saw because they were watching football. These finals are less than 1 year ago, and the NBA will never do this again.
Tony, that block was even better than the block that Giannis had on Ayton in the finals, which I know was great, but that's incredible. But still, the Adebayo block, that's Bill Russell. I mean, they're all great. They really are. But if I had to pick one over the other, I know one was in the finals, but I'm going to go with the Bam Adebayo block as the most stunning block I've seen. I was a kid for Bill Russell. I didn't see all of them. He might have had more.
I think LeBron made a block you might remember.
He did.
But it was a chase down. Second wild card spot for the Reds. This is obviously a fluid situation, but at the moment, the Cardinals own the second wild card in the National League. The Cardinals beat the Mets last night in 11 innings, while Cincinnati and San Diego both lost. The Cardinals are now 75-69, a half game ahead of the Reds at 75-70, and a full game ahead of the Padres at 74-70. St. Louis manager Mike Shildt said, quote, "We're looking at the windshield, not the rearview mirror," unquote. The Cardinals are now 6-4 in their last 10 games. Not great, but better than the Reds and Padres, who are both 3-7. The Reds lost to the last-place Pirates last night, and the Padres, who you said, Wilbon, are the most exciting team in baseball, they lost again to the Giants. It's their fifth straight loss. The Padres have basically cratered. They're 20 games out of first.
Yeah, I don't know from the Padres. I like watching them. But the Cardinals, people better not let the Cardinals in. And back to those blocks, Tony, in the previous, LeBron James wasn't facing a guy. He chased him down. It was a great play at helping the championship, but it's not the same as squaring up to a dude and rejected him.
It's a famous block, though. Do you have an omission for us?
Yes, Tony, I do. Bobby Ross went from being an assistant at Kansas City, where Eric Bieniemy's in that situation now, to college. He was great with Maryland, probably their second or third greatest coach ever. All right. And then he went to Georgia Tech, where he won something called the national championship, at least a share of it with Georgia Tech. So it has been done. Maybe Bieniemy can look at that as a blueprint.
That's right. Big finish quickly. Raiders defensive tackle Gerald McCoy out for the season with a knee injury. Your thoughts?
It's a big loss, Tom. Six-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro. Missed, last season with the torn quad. It's just a bad deal. Chase Young of the Washington football team says Taylor Heinicke could start for any team in the league. Are you down with that?
He loves them. So does Terry McLaurin loves them. That's crazy talk. He can't start for every team in the league. The Athletic reports that the Lakers are going to work out Kenneth Faried. Does that make sense?
Hadn't played in the NBA since 2019. At 31, though, Faried's too young. I mean, you got to be at least, 35 to play on that team. Odell Beckham Jr. is out again for the Browns this weekend. Is that a big loss?
I like what the coach is doing to sit him down until he gets healthy, but he hasn't been on that team for a long time, really. Last one, Alyssa Thomas is probable for the Connecticut Sun tonight, just 9 months after tearing her Achilles. Your thoughts?
It's great. That's my thought, because that injury was the boogeyman, and now people, great players, are coming back all the way from Achilles tears.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your SportsCenter.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.